All right, we're still studying death, Thanatos. And we've got one more scripture to look at. First John, chapter 3. And in the cosmic poker game, this is one of the tests to see whether or not you've passed from life unto death or not. Verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, hereby know, marvel, no, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now remember, love here is the word agapeo. And it means give importance to. And what it spiritually means is that you would give up whatever you own or have, even the right to yourself, for your brother's sake. That's what love is, not some sloppy agape that says you give up anything and everything for another's sake. Now that's love. And you know that you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother is kidding himself. He's abiding in death. Now that's a biggie. That's like the biggest tell there is in the cosmic poker game. What?
No, I'm totally there. It's rubber meeting the road here.
And then we could get in all kinds of dissent. Well, and who's my brother? The one in need nearest to you. That's what the whole parable of the Samaritan is
about.
Yeah, well, of course. And I mean, it's just, that's pure evil.
That's a good contrasting picture for this parable.
But the question is not as what they do, is what we do. I'm going to talk about this one in great detail on Sunday, I think. All right, anybody else have any response?
By Sunday, I wait until Sunday.
Because I want the whole community to hear it.
I mean, if something happened that I didn't know about, I just wondered.
No, it's just that it's time for this to be reminded of again. It's like there's a couple things that have to constantly be reminded of. One is forgiveness is a command. It does not require a transaction. Second is, if you don't love your brother, and if love the prefer his interest over your own, then you're still abiding in death.
See, this goes right to Tom's question today, which was, is it cause and effect, or that other thing?
No, it's the way a thing works. Let's go to 1 John 5. I'll show you.
1 John 5.
Right, just probably the next page. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, you got to understand, that doesn't mean, oh, I believe it. That's not intellectual belief. That's to believe that if you believe he is the Christ, then your manner of life is totally and completely different. If he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So it's automatic.
That kind of singles him out.
What?
But
you also love the ones in need.
Well, I know that's what we said over here.
This is an example of, boom, the intimacy of the brethren, and the other is the example of your response, the brethren's response to whatever, the community at large.
After all, if Christ is living inside the people that I'm hanging around, then
well, either way, the point of it is, this is an intimate response. It's automatic. This is as, like breathing. The other is, should be like breathing, but you tend to get insular. And so that's why the Good Samaritan parable exists. Amen? John? All right, that's enough about death. Everybody understand death now? Now let's study not death, athanatos. Athanatos is translated as immortality. So let's look at that. It's not used a whole lot. Let's go to Romans 2. This is all, we're studying death and then we're contrasting it. You got it? So that's why we're studying immortality. Let's let the scriptures answer this, okay?
Romans 2.
Well,
I don't say a lot, so I just
You don't say a lot? Is that what you said? Well, let's start in verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after the heart, thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Immortality, athanatos. Okay? Let's go to Romans, I mean, 1 Corinthians.
What did we just say?
Huh?
What did we just say? Immortality, eternal life. Oh. I didn't understand.
Well, it's a contrast between if you're still after minding earthly things, you're then unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey righteous indignation, but obey unrighteous indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. I mean, it's just contrasting. One, we seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Two, we seek those things in time and space. If you seek the things in time and space, you will automatically do the other things. You will judge. You will see after your senses. You will have all kinds of opinions. If you seek those things that are above, then the other stuff is automatic. All right, well,
contrasting the two, or isn't it? Verse 7 is not saying the evil.
No, this is the one to them who by patient continuance, well doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. No, it's saying the righteous seek with patience, continuance, and well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life.
It's confusing because it's not sure whose glory and whose honor you're really looking for.
Well.
And that's capped off with 11, where there's no respect of persons with God, so it's kind of...
Again, you were talking about the automatics of the life of Christ in you with your death. This isn't a prescription for what the flesh can do. The flesh can't do this. But it's a picture of the automatic life of Christ in your repentance and abandonment. This is like the whole thing about you ought. The word ought in the New Testament. You ought to do these things. You ought to breathe. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the things that happen in that new state of being. But not, they're not.
So that's kind of the answer. It's not cause and effect. It's the way it is.
Right. There's not one rule in here. There's not one, it's not a religious book, it's not a Heister book, it's not a science book, it's not a moral book. It's a book about life in two different dimensions, one in time and space and one without cell phones. One in time and space, one in eternity. And if you're in time and space, then these things happen. And this is what happens. If you're in eternity, then this is what takes place automatically. But the only,
reading that verse 7, to me, one of the key words is patient.
Amen. We're going to skip a couple and go do 1 Timothy 6. But you understand that the flesh can't have patience.
Correct.
All right. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 11.
Golly, I'm there now.
What?
I'm already there.
This is talking about this whole thing about if gain is godliness, you teach a gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself, etc., etc. It's those kinds of things. And then it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, or who alone hath immortality. He alone has immortality. All men have thanatos. He alone has athanatos. You got it? Death, life. Man, Jesus. There's no truck between them. You either come to the end of yourself and your ideas and your opinions and your thoughts and your stands and your ambitions and your goals and all the other crap. You've come to the end of it. You've seen your death. Therefore, he is life. Because he is the life that lighteth every man that entereth into the world. But the men love the darkness more than the light, because in the darkness they have the illusion of righteousness. They can be right about something. Oh, but I'm a truth seeker. Yeah, you are, as long as truth meets your predefinition of what you're doing. You look at life through a template. And you look at the Bible through a template. And that template is what can benefit me. Every once in a while, I'll throw a sot to somebody over here to make me think I'm redeeming myself. But fundamentally, you're locked into this prison where you can only see what this means to me. And until you see that it means absolutely nothing to you except to drive you to repentance, then you're just another Gentile looking for truth. These are hard sayings. It doesn't get any harder. Amen? All right. He alone hath immortality. That's the bottom line. All right, now let's go to first where we're going. I just had it. Oh. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now before we go there, since we're at Timothy, go to 2 Timothy 1. Since we're already in that section of the Bible. Verse 6, chapter 1. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the revelation of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, because he alone hath immortality. Now, just think of what this does to all the comic book theology. He alone hath immortality. Well, I'm talking about what people have, their ideas of heaven. Those are pagan. I'm going to be up there with my sweet mother, and I'm going to recognize her, and we're going to talk. No. you will lose, you lose all consciousness of self. You are swallowed up as though you never existed for his purpose. Until that becomes your purpose, you will always walk in deception. And that's what the whole next part of the Luke is about, the transfiguration. That's your calling, that's your vocation, that's your avocation, everything. That's your purpose, that's everything, is the transfiguration. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I only had another Bible that didn't, pages didn't stick to it. We're starting 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And that word changed is transfigured, metamorpho. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed or transfigured. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, or where it really says, O hell, where is thy, O death, where is thy sting? O hell, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. This mortal must put on, this death must put on no death. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And your mind, and your emotions, and your body, they're all flesh and blood. You're a vessel for that mystery. Every man is the vessel. But we've kept him in prison by your own ideas and opinions, your own life. So he is in prison within you. And it's only because we want him not to be in prison. We want him to show us, boom! Well, if he showed us, boom, you'd be dead meat. I mean, you would be hit by a biggest hydrogen bomb that ever was thought of, a hydrogen bomb that destroys the universe. What are you doing, Gary?
I was thinking of Psi in this context, which is dry, lifeless place. And that's what flesh and blood does not want. And if it's in that place, which is where you're walking with God, if you saw it, you do everything you can to get out of that place.
Psalm 48 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for every situation, the joy of this whole world is this Mount Zion, the true Mount Zion, the new Jerusalem, shrouded in a mystery, the city of the great King." That's why that meaningless piece of land over there has nothing. It's not holy. There's no holy land anymore. That was a parable. It's lost its purpose because that which is truth has come. Again, when studying the contrast between mortality, death, and no death, we have to take a look at the words eternal and eternity in the same context. Then we'll get to transfiguration. Then we'll get to your purpose in life. You have no other. You have no other purpose. You have no other calling. Until you see that, you're just walking in deception. Any thought, response? Look at the big guy.